Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Press. It's Wednesday. It's April 19th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here with us for a Wednesday show as we get ready for a big slate this week. We have a lot going on in the world of professional golf. We've got the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, which is the team event on the PGA Tour. We've got the ISPS Handa Championship, weirdly named because there's a dash between Handa and Championship. I don't know why. You don't know either, but it's in Japan, the DP World Tour event this week. It's been put off for, I think, 2 years because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So they're finally playing it for the first time this week. The Chevron Championship is the first major on the LPGA Tour schedule. That gets started on Thursday in Texas, and then LIV starts on Friday in Australia, but that will be on Thursday night in the United States, and that is their event in Adelaide, Australia, at the Grange, the golf club there. Expecting decent crowds there. I think really good crowds, maybe even. So that's all the events for the week, and then we got two more I'm not even going to talk about on the show, probably. I mean, we'll try to touch on it briefly, I guess. The Lecom Suncoast Classic in Lakewood, Florida, Lakewood Ranch, Florida, on the Corn Ferry, and the Invited Celebrity Classic on the Champions Tour. It's a pro-am style event. We could touch on those briefly if you wish. And I do want to touch very briefly, and maybe we could just start here on the PGA Championship. We are getting closer to the PGA Championship. It's time to start thinking about it. I think you probably already should have been thinking about it, to be honest with you, but some plays I really do like leading into this major championship. First of all, I think you have to look for a player that doesn't have to be particularly long, and they've got to be very accurate, and they don't really even have to putt all that well. If you look at the last time we had a major here, 2013, Jason Duffner won. Finally picked off his major a couple of years after losing to Keegan Bradley in the playoff at Atlanta Athletic Club. I think he shot 63 in one of the rounds, if I'm not mistaken. And he kind of struggled a little bit on Sunday. But if you look at the leaderboard for that year, not only behind Duffner, but yeah, Jim Furyk is part of a bunch of players who, frankly, are just not long hitters. They weren't then. They definitely aren't now 10 years later. And those players were really good ball strikers. So I think you have to think about those types of players who have the best chance here. Who are some of those guys? Well, you know who they are at the top, right? I mean, you know Scottie Scheffler's amazing tee to green. You know Jordan Spieth's playing really well tee to green. Kind of makes sense. He's not the longest, but he's definitely not short. You could like someone like Colin Morikawa, I think makes a lot of sense, playing great golf this year. I think you can look at someone like a Victor Hovland, who's starting to figure it out in the majors. Cam Young is a great guy to look at. But I want to drop down a little bit lower than that to Tom Kim, who I've highlighted before for the PGA Championship, but he is 40-1 now. I have him in pocket at 50. I think he's a great play here. Again, great tee to green kind of player, great ball striker. Not a bad putter, but just doesn't have to be a great putter, I don't think. I don't think that's the character of this golf course to be able to do particularly well. And then I also want to highlight Justin Rose at 65-1. Playing really good golf this year, is a very high quality ball striker, doesn't have to be the longest guy, just kind of has to get it into play. And then you might want to start thinking about Ricky Fowler, who is 52nd in the world now. That happened very quickly, by the way. He went from being a guy who was not playing good golf at all to a guy a lot of people are thinking about. 80-1 is not that crazy. I think very, very interesting number for him. Again, he hasn't won in, what, 6 years? Something like that? 5 years? Somewhere in that range? But it's long enough that you think, oh, well, maybe he's not going to, you know, ever win a major. It's not going to ever happen for him. But he's knocking on the door of some things. And then I think the other guy I want to bring up is Matt Kuchar, who's playing really, really great golf this year. He's 150-1. So if you want a deeper shot to think about, maybe he's someone to look at for Oak Hill. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the LIV event in Australia. The odds table is very interesting this week. First of all, this is just like every other LIV event, same 48 players, but also in that you have no idea about this venue. You just don't. And as we talked about previously, leading into the Masters and even after the Masters, the data tends to tell you, at least I believe more so after having seen the Masters and the three prior LIV events, is that LIV outcomes are particularly random. They're not so random that a 500-1 shot wins, but they are pretty random. I think everything about it lends itself to erratic outcomes, which makes it actually kind of more interesting that Brooks Koepka has won twice. But I don't think there's necessarily a guarantee of form, and there's not necessarily a guarantee. There's definitely no guarantee of knowing the course, right? We don't have those. So you walk into each of these tournaments kind of wondering what the heck's going on. But if you look at the best players in terms of LIV outcomes, right? Just LIV outcomes. I don't know how you don't pick Mito Pereira at 14-1. I know Cam Smith played well at the Masters. I know Brooks did. They're 12 and 11-1, respectively. DJ had a decent start, but finished horribly. Maybe just checked out. I don't know. Paul Casey played most recently of a lot of the folks in this field because he played the International Series in Vietnam last week. He's 22. Peter Uihlein's been playing pretty okay. He's 25. I just don't know how you can do this with confidence. I really don't. What about like a Dean Burmester, who's played pretty well since moving to LIV? 40-1 makes kind of sense to play him. But I could also see, I mean, Bernd Wiesberger has been horrible. So once you're kind of below, I'll say, yeah, I guess below 50-1, they're just lumping all the golfers here who have been consistently bad on LIV this year for whatever reason. And I think you can go 50-1 and above and they might have a fighting chance. But beyond that, I don't really know how you can feel. Maybe Kokrak. I mean, he played okay. I don't know. But I feel like Mito is probably your bet in terms of statistical quality. I know he didn't play the best at the Masters as we might have anticipated with taking the numbers from LIV into effect. But I think maybe Mito is well suited to random golf courses and random events. So I kind of like him here as a potential winner. Peter Uihlein's kind of interesting to me. Kokrak and Varner are interesting to me, and I think I would probably leave it at that. But again, I just really have a hard time so far betting LIV because I rely so much on information from the past. And I don't think we really have a good analog or good way to process past LIV results yet and translate it to something because they do truly seem random. And I don't know how to weight those things differently. It's hard to model because the strokes gained just doesn't really add up to me. It's all over the place. So be treading very carefully if you want to bet LIV this week, but I would go in those places and probably leave it alone. I think they have team lines too. I don't know. I would stick with the individual stuff and just let it ride and bet the four aces. Why the hell not? They do well every week. All right, let's go to the ISPS Handa Championship in Japan. This event, as I mentioned, has been put off a couple of different times because of the pandemic. We have an interesting field here because it's co-sanctioned with the Japan Golf Tour organization. So you've got a mixture of Japan regulars, obviously, guys like Takumi Kanaya and Kita Nakajima and some top, you know, Rikuya Hoshino, guys like that. And then you've got some mixture of players from the DP World Tour and also some PGA Tour players who aren't playing in the Zurich Classic this week. So they got a release to come over here and play, I guess. But your top of the table is Rasmus Højgaard, 18-1. Christian Bezuidenhout, who I really like this week, is 20. Lucas Herbert is 22. I my theory on Japanese golf, really, and this isn't universally true, of course, but I feel like hitting smaller targets is going to work itself out to be the ball striker, right? I mean, it just is going to be. If you think about the players who have won the Zozo Championship, I mean, you do have some of those types of players, right? You got ball strikers. So think about those guys. Think about players who are perhaps leading the DP World Tour in strokes gained tee to green or strokes gained approach. And if you go over the DP World Tour and you look at those types of things for this season, at least, and obviously you don't have everybody together, but if you look at strokes gained on the approach this year, you start to bring up some guys that are going to make sense for you this week. I think Jasjain Wattanon has played really well this year, strokes gained tee to green. I know he's in the field here, at least he was. Last time I looked at it, he may have exited, but he's 65-1. Good strokes gained tee to green player so far this year in just 12 rounds. Not a ton of rounds, but 12 rounds is nothing to sneeze at. Yannick Paul is third on the DP World Tour in strokes gained approach this year. He's 28-1. I think he makes a ton of sense here. And then you have a bunch of kind of like South African regular guys who are either in this field for whatever reason, but if you want to kind of go down, a little bit more down the board, Alexander Bjork is interesting. He's 23rd on the tour in that stat and one of the higher ranked players that's actually in this field this week. I think Keita Nakajima is going to figure this out eventually. He's kind of gotten caught up early in his professional career, taking starts all over the place, but he is a really good player, and I think that he can do this. I really do, but I don't know where he is at quite yet. So that's probably where I would look. And Bjork's 35-1. So I would look at Bezuidenhout because he's playing pretty well in the PGA Tour. Yannick Paul for sure. Alexander Bjork's good play. And then probably Jazz. And that would probably be where I would look this week. Again, not knowing the course, not knowing a whole lot about the event. You're kind of flying by the seat of your pants a little bit here. But I think those are bets worth looking at for this week. Then let's talk a little bit about the Lecom Suncoast Classic that's down in Florida. They've had a really nice season so far. Lots of interesting different winners. Brett Drewitt played well. 14-1 right now this week. Rico Hoey's 25-1, along with Max Gracerman and Ben Coles. Then you got Pearson Cootie at 28 with Ryan Gibson and Joe Highsmith at 30. Brandon Harkins and Chris Goddard are at 35-1 with Jake Knapp. Roberto Diaz is 40-1 with Shad Tootin, 210. Alejandro Tosi, Nicholas Lindheim, those guys are all 40-1. Cole Hammer finally figuring out that he should be playing this tour, 45-1. He's run out of opportunities, so he's got to make his way here. I'm a big Pearson Cootie fan, so I would look at him at 28-1. Ryan Gibson's shown some good form this year. I feel like he can. He's one of those. There are a bunch of different guys who play the Korn Ferry Tour, it feels like every other year, or play for 2 years, get back on the PGA Tour, and then go right back. They're better than the Korn Ferry Tour, but they're not good enough on the PGA Tour consistently. And it is a bit of a different brand of golf. And I've talked to players who have been on both over the years, and they say there is a notable difference. And the PGA Tour being harder actually plays up to a lot of players because the setups are different. They're not as easy. It's a different style, just slightly. So I would look there. But I know a lot of folks would love to bet the Korn Ferry Tour. You can occasionally get a winner out of nowhere. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of momentum plays on the Korn Ferry Tour. But I would just kind of stick to the better players here and hope it all kind of works out. So I do want to come back to the Zurich Classic one more time before Thursday tee off, just to kind of refine some thoughts on what I've been looking at. I did not run a model this week. I don't think that's particularly instructive. What are you going to just add guys up and say who's the best who added up together and then we go with it? I don't think so. The alternate shot thing alone makes that impossible, but the better ball thing, I guess you could do it with better ball, but that's only half the tournament. Alternate shot is its own skill, and these guys don't do it all the time. They do it this one week, or if you make a team event, and that's it. So I don't really think that tells you a whole lot. But looking at some of the historical results, looking back on this tournament as a team event, and you look at the players, regardless of their partner, who have played in this event, who have had multiple top 15 finishes, the most belong to combined Sam Burns and Billy Horschel with five between them. So I think that's where you, or excuse me, top 10, not 15, top 10. So I think that's where you begin. And I think that's a good number. At 14-1, I think that I make them my betting play. I mean, I get Sungjae and Keith Mitchell. They make a lot of sense too, but I like these guys a little bit better. And I think I'm going to go there. Olsson and Højgaard, I think, have been bet up a bit. They're a good play, though. Olsson's already won on the DP World Tour. Højgaard's been playing well. I think that makes a whole lot of sense to me. And then I talked about some guys in this like 50 to 75 range that I've seen. And I keep talking myself out of them because one player is particularly weak compared to the other. They're just not two guys who are playing well. And I don't really want to put money on guys that aren't both playing well. But one team that we did mention on this show, and I think other people have brought up, Sam Saunders, Eric Cole, has been bet up pretty significantly, at least DraftKings. They're 100-1 now. I think they were 150 or 200 other places earlier in the week. You might still even be able to find good numbers on them other places, but I'm just looking here for convenience sake. So if you didn't get any action on them, you may have missed the value window, but I still like what they have and what they bring to the table here this week. So, you know, maybe you want to take that chance anyway, but I feel like a lot of the teams I've just kind of ruled out because of the quality of their partner or the weakness of their partner relative to them. Maybe you want to even look at a Bo Hostler and Wyndham Clark for that reason. I kind of ruled them out earlier. Maybe I rule them back in. I liked Victor Perez and Thomas Dietrich earlier in the week. Dietrich has not played well the last couple times out. I'm willing to throw him out and not go with him this week. I did not put the bet in yet for this tournament. For Dietrich and Perez, so I'm just going to stay away from that. Might as well at this point. The other ones that I think I've pointed out, Taylor Moore, Matthew Neesmith, Neesmith's not there. It's really hard to kind of say, okay, he's playing not so great, but Taylor Moore's been lovely. He's going to carry the whole thing. Scott Stallings, Trey Mullinax, love Stallings. Trey Mullinax not playing good golf, and I can talk myself into it against weaker fields, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then they just took everything off the board here on the win bet as I'm recording this. So we won't talk about that anymore over at DraftKings. But I think you get the general sentiment here about how I think about trying to bet this tournament is trying to find guys who are playing well each, not one carry the other. And that doesn't necessarily mean that has to be the case, because if you look at the guys who have won this tournament since it's been a team event on the PGA Tour, it typically is one player who's playing particularly well, but then you've got some random outcomes too with the Scott Brown year. So I don't have that. Maybe that's not a guarantee, right? I mean, it's not a guarantee, but I think for my money's sake, I want to look at guys who are at least relative, both playing kind of good so that they can work together, particularly in those alternate shot rounds. Because if one stinks, then they both stink. And those are the rounds that I think are the most important to the tournament. So keep that in mind. Think about that as you get ready and place whatever bet you're going to make this week. I assume handle is going to be quite light for this tournament just because it's really hard to bet a team event. We only have one. Feels like a random set of outcomes given the formats. So I'm going to bet really light this week. I'm not going to bet standard units or anything like $10 and $20 instead of, you know, my normal $40, $50, $60. And we'll just see what happens. Maybe some in-play opportunities this week on this particular tournament, because you do want to do it on the alternate shot days, I think, because that's going to give you a better feel how the rest of it goes. And they could totally lay an egg if they have a great alternate shot day in the better ball day. But I feel like if you're looking for affirmation of how the team is playing, I think you get a better affirmation out of the alternate shot format. That's just me. All right, that's going to do it for us today and for this week on the press. Thank you so much for listening, supporting the show. Again, sorry about last week and the issues there, not being able to really not be in a position to post the show in the back half of that week and preparing for Heritage. So hopefully you cash in on Matt Fitzpatrick. It seemed like an obvious play to me. We will talk to you next week. We'll get ready for the Mexico Open at Vedanta. And we've got a quick push here in the next several weeks to get ready for the PGA Championship, but some good tournaments in the interim. And we'll have some opportunities, I think, for some longer shot plays in the coming weeks. If you have a question, you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Follow me on Twitter or Instagram, Ryan Ballingy. Join Golf Newsnet for $99 a year, updating our tools, always improving. So hopefully you're taking advantage of that as well. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We'll talk to you next week. Have a winning week, everybody.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.